We're talking with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com. Browns finish out the season with a 35-10 loss to Baltimore on Saturday. So we've had a couple days to sort of see where things go. And I guess the first news was it yesterday that we got the news that Ken Dorsey and Andy Dickerson were let go?
Yeah, that was Sunday morning.
Uh-huh. And then Coach Stefanski had a chance to talk. What have you kind of, over these last couple of days, kind of sort of started to digest of what happened and where are we going with this?
Yeah, you know, they're keeping Kevin Stefanski as coach and Andrew Berry as GM, which we knew, but I think it's still significant to mention. At 3-14, there had to be some changes, and I would say significant changes, and that's what happens when you get rid of the offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, who'd only been here 1 year, and then Andy Dickerson, the line coach, who they struggled to run the ball, they struggled some in pass protection. He had a tough job taking over for Bill Callahan. So you can see the writing on the wall, I think, with both those. I mean, the offense averaged a league low 15.2 points a game. You know, they only scored 20 points in a game three times. But the fact that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are coming back, there's a belief that they can fix this, and it's not going to be easy. There's salary cap issues. They don't know who's going to play quarterback. But they believe that it's not going to take a tear down, that they're going to be able to fix it by next year.
Do the players believe that? I don't know. I mean, how do you determine that, I see?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I know from talking to guys, some of them do. I think the key one in what is going to be, if not the main, one of the top two or three main stories in this offseason, is if Myles Garrett believes it. Because, you know, a couple weeks ago, he put the top of the organization on notice by saying he doesn't want to go through a rebuild and left the door open for a potential trade if he doesn't trust or believe the plan to contend in 2025. And he either met with the – when I talked to Ken, we talked to Kevin Stefanski yesterday, he had not met with Myles Garrett yet. But those exit meetings were either yesterday or today. And Myles Garrett wanted to hear the plan, and he wanted to hear what they're going to do at quarterback, what they're going to do at the roster, and be convinced that they were going to be able to win next season. So if Garrett believes that, then I think you'll see a huge extension for Myles Garrett. He'll be all in and be part of this effort to fix things right away. If he doesn't believe the plan, or the organization says, hey, we're better off trading you as opposed to extending you because we can get X number of draft picks, and I don't think that's the way the organization wants to go, but that'll be the litmus test to see if Garrett stays for this or not is based on his belief that they can figure it out right away.
What's the timeline on that? How sooner or later? What do you think is good or better news for that?
That's a great question. I think Myles will probably make a decision pretty quick. He couldn't be actually traded until March. You could hear a deal come together before then. You could hear an extension that could happen at any time. So, we're talking to Andrew Berry today, the GM. Talks at 10 o'clock today. He's going to get a lot of questions about Myles Garrett. Maybe we'll have an update and say that, yeah, we talked, Myles is on board, and we're working on an extension, or however that answer would go. So, there's no, like, schedule to talk to Myles Garrett again. So I don't know when that'll happen. Keep an eye on social media. But I think Andrew Berry will hopefully give us some gauge of how that went.
I wonder what you'll get out of Andrew Berry today. It's not like he has to worry about what's happening in the season. It's over with. So is it a recap? Is it look forward? How much do you think you'll get out of this today?
Well, you normally don't get much. So I go in with relatively low expectations. I thought he was exceptionally bad when we talked to him over the bye week, because there were a ton of issues to talk about then, and he did not clear up any or many of those. So he's got another chance today. He doesn't have the season to worry about, like you mentioned. You know, we need that answer about Myles Garrett. I think you need an answer. You know, fans need an answer about what the quarterback plan is and exactly what they expect from Deshaun Watson. And, you know, you keep hearing, you know, he's going to compete, but is he competing for a starting job? Are they counting on him at all? How could they, given how everything's gone? I want to hear what his answer is to that. So it's about the quarterback. It's, hey, how do you fix this roster? How do you deal with the salary cap situation, which is not easy given Deshaun Watson's a $73 million cap hit for the next 2 years? And hopefully he'll provide some answers to that because, you know, I know that fans want to know, right? There's a lot of fans out there that believe a tear down and rebuild is necessary, that the Browns can't turn this around that quickly. And I think some people are looking for the GM to say, no, this is possible, and lay out the blueprint that Myles Garrett was asking for.
We've lived through a lot of tear down and rebuild, and the results never seemed to get it where we want to go. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air with a lot of that. The number two pick, that's kind of where we're sitting. Obviously, as a GM, they keep it close to their vest, but obviously someone's probably going to ask, what is your plan with the number two pick, I would assume? What would you think he'd say, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's not going to answer that, but he could give a glimpse into, yes, they are considering that they would like to take a quarterback that high, or, you know, because that's the big question. Do you take a quarterback that high? And I haven't dug deep into the drive at this point, or the draft at this point, and studied all the quarterbacks yet. I've recorded a bunch of their games. But the consensus is that Shedeur Sanders from Colorado and Cam Ward from Miami are the two top quarterbacks. Well, if you're drafting two, then you can get one of those guys if you like them both. And if you believe that they are the two top guys and they are worthy of top five picks. So he'll be asked about that. We'll see if he gives any kind of insight into that at all. Obviously, they could draft a quarterback there. They could draft a different position. I would say it's either quarterback or trade down because someone would want to draft a quarterback that high. That's how the league goes. So right now, I lean toward them taking a quarterback, but not by a ton, maybe 55% to 45% that they take a quarterback at two or trade down and try to amass more picks. I mean, they could draft a guy. I think they need multiple quarterbacks to go along with Watson. So I would, I think you could draft a guy, whether it's at two or somewhere else, relatively high, and then sign somebody like a Kirk Cousins, whoever it is, whoever that kind of retread, and retread is probably not the right word for Kirk Cousins. He's won a lot of games and thrown for a ton of yards. Mm-hmm. But find a veteran that's cheap, that goes with the rookie, that goes with Watson, who's making so much money that you need to be cost-effective at the rest of the quarterback position.
Wow. And there's a lot of the quarterbacks that are still in the playoffs that may or may not be with their teams when everything gets done, and so there's a lot of that goes on.
Yep.
So it's revolving and ever-changing, and it's just a matter of them figuring out what's best before the Browns moving forward. Again, Browns finish out the season 3-14. Not something kind of anyone anticipated. You mentioned about just at the start, we changed, the drastic change dropping the offensive line, offensive coordinator. That was like the change we made last year, just as sort of a tweak, and it came crashing down on us for that.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a big part of this, and there were a lot of questions about it yesterday. A lot of talk from the offensive lineman, Joe Bitonio, Jack Conklin, as the players cleaned out their lockers, that, when you score so few points and the offense is such a disaster, quarterback play is part of it. But right along there with the quarterback play was they made this significant change to Ken Dorsey in a Ken Dorsey offense, which meant more spread formations, more run-pass options, more throwing. They got away from what Kevin Stefanski brought in 2020, which was a lot of run, a lot of play-action passing, a lot of two tight end formations, and then they throw deep off the play action. This became spread it. We're going to throw it 70% of the time. And it was all meant to maximize Deshaun Watson's skill set, and it did not work. Deshaun Watson was 1-6. He never threw for 200 yards in a game. I had the worst quarterback rating in the NFL. So the players, especially the offensive linemen, want to go back to that Stefanski system. And I think with there being so many questions about Watson, so much uncertainty, that it would make sense to do that and find a quarterback or two who can run that offense really well. And Kevin Stefanski wasn't ready to go there, and he kept talking in generalities. It doesn't matter what system it is, we need to be sound. But the players, at least those two, were all in on go back to that Stefanski system, go back to the wide zone run scheme, and they think that would kind of be the launching point to helping to fix this offense.
You mentioned something, and I thought it was in one of the stories that related to the Patriots firing their coach, and that's where Alex Van Pelt ended up. And, you know, is it like a do-over? And a lot of times coaches want to be familiar with somebody, and it's not a, you know, an introduction to somebody new. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I threw it in the story. You know, it happened after we talked to Stefanski, the firing in New England of Gerard Mayo. So when you get to ask Stefanski about it, not that he would have answered. But, yeah, when you look at who could make sense, I believe Alex Van Pelt really liked it here. I don't know if he'd be willing to come back after getting fired. But he fits. If you're talking about going back to the system, he's one of the guys that was really part of it. He was an integral part of that. So I thought it was at least worth mentioning. I also mentioned Clint Kubiak. He's the Saints coordinator. They fired their head coach during the season. Kevin Stefanski has deep ties to the Kubiak family. He coached with Clint. Gary, Clint's dad, was one of Stefanski's mentors, kind of taught him this offense that we're talking about with the wide zone scheme and the play action passing. So that would seem to be seamless. And then you'd be deeper in the knowledge of this system that Stefanski wants to run. Whether it would be Clint Kubiak or Alex Van Pelt or somebody else from that family.
And then most of what they already know, the players have already learned this from a season or so ago, right? I mean, that's the thought.
Yeah, I mean, they ran it in 21, 22. You know, they got away from it a little bit when Watson got here, but that was still the base. And Joe Bitonio, the offensive line feels like the linemen are best suited for that kind of scheme, which speaks to why the line wasn't as effective this season.
All right. Scott, we'll keep following you at brownzone.com and the Chronicle Telegram. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram, and it's brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis, Wilson, Merrill & Fritz Company, Attorneys at Law, and Royal Business Equipment here on WEOL.